We're here with Peter Tanis today. He is a member of LAU's Board of Trustees, and today we're going to talk about his recent book, Debt Deficits and the Demise of the American Economy. Peter, it's quite a grim look at the status of the really the global economy. Can you talk a little bit about what led you to write this book, and you know what the genesis of it is?
Yeah, it isn't very cheerful, that's for sure. Basically, since I'm in the investment business, I observe things on the investment scene and on the and on the broader economic and financial scene. We started seeing problems in Europe. My co-author, Jeff Cox, who's with CNBC, and I decided to collaborate on a work in which we would bring to the forefront the problems in Europe, in which we also predict that Greece will default, and that that would trigger a response that would cross the Atlantic and put pressure on the United States, given our own economic problems. After we went through the problems in Europe, in the book we said, look, we've got problems in the United States that are also really very bad, but which are not reflected in asset prices yet, meaning stocks are still relatively high and interest rates are at an all-time low. We see that changing.
In the months since you finished the book, which you must have finished it quite a while ago now.
Well, this year. No.
You've seen a lot of what you predict play out. Is that correct?
It is correct. And the Greek scenario is playing out as almost exactly the way we predicted it. There are a lot of predictions still in the book that haven't come to pass yet, which is why the book is still selling. We have some pretty negative views on what the stock market is going to do. The economy of the United States is in very bad shape because we're stuck with very high unemployment, which in addition to everything else has potential social problems. The fact that we are growing at only about 1% a year, which means the unemployment rate will never come down at that rate. And finally, we can't spend any more money that we don't have to try to fix this problem, if that's what we wanted to do, because our deficit is so huge, there's no appetite at all to keep increasing the deficit. So this puts us in this quagmire where we're stuck in a corner without any good options to get out.
What is the prescription? The book has a very negative premise, but it's something that we've all seen play out, and we think it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Do you offer any prescription?
Sure. Yeah, we certainly do. We do have some ideas on how to get out of this. And you start by understanding how the American economy works. And the most ubiquitous economic statistic out there, the one that almost everybody knows, is that two-thirds of the American economy is fueled by consumer spending. So if you want to get the economy moving again, you got to figure out a way to get the consumer to spend more. Now, consumer's not inclined to spend because there's 9% unemployment, which means almost all of us know somebody who's unemployed. That doesn't make us feel too good. The economy is growing very slowly, and the mood is sour. Housing prices are still abysmal, and 25% of Americans have mortgages that are worth less than that are actually higher than the value of their house. So the way to do this is to provide some tax incentives for Americans to spend, and also shift the burden of taxation from incomes to consumption. In other words, lower income taxes a lot, so people have more money to spend. We still need to raise the revenue, but instead institute a value-added tax like they have in your, by the way, there are 130 countries with a value-added tax. We're one of the ones that don't have one. And the way the value-added tax works is that, number one, it raises a lot of money, but also it shifts the taxation burden to consumption. Now, there is one problem with a value-added tax, in that it's regressive. It hurts poor people more than it hurts middle class or rich people. So you have to make a provision for them. If necessary, you give them a big tax credit or write a check to the people who are below a certain level to make up for the fact that the value-added taxes will raise prices.
What do you think of these stimulus plans and various things that have been taken on by the Obama administration?
I think the stimulus plan is good. It's a good start. I wish it had gone even farther, and I wish it were bolder. But it has got some elements that Republicans and Democrats can agree on, and at least it's a start if they deliver something. But the jury's still out on that. And again, we talk about a bunch of these things in the book.
What do you honestly think will happen in the next, say, 5 years?
I think we're going to have a crisis that will involve, as we work through this, much higher interest rates. And the higher interest rates will evolve from the huge amount of money that was created by the Fed, over $2 trillion, and that money has to go somewhere. At some point, it will result in inflation. So we'll have higher inflation. Stocks will do poorly, I think. Since I'm in the investment business, it's logically we have some chapters on what to do with your investments. We have chapters on oil and gold, which I think everybody should own. And we also talk about where the growth is going to come from in the world. You know, the United States is a mature economy. We're not going to grow as fast as we used to. Where's the growth going to come from? Well, it's coming from emerging markets like India and China and Brazil. So a lot of the equity investments should probably shift towards those areas that are going to grow very fast, whereas we are not.
I was just taking off on what you're saying. What do you know about the Lebanese economy, which is, to some extent, been insulated from a lot of this? Does it fall into the category of a lot of the emerging markets?
No. The Lebanese economy, in a sense, is mature. It's basically an economy that is built on trade rather than manufacture, but the Lebanese are very good at that. The one advantage Lebanon has is that, you know, despite all the political turmoil that never seems to end, it is still one of the most desirable places in the world. I mean, for those of us who are American, even though of Lebanese heritage, it is a mystery as to why apartments in Beirut cost more than they do in New York. It is amazing to see that the social life, the restaurants, the nightclubs, the boutiques in Beirut rival those on the Riviera, Paris, or any of the other, Monte Carlo, for that matter. But it's a source of pride too.
I don't want you to give away all the secrets because I want people to read the book. But if you were giving advice to an individual, and you touched on this a little bit, but what are some of the pieces of advice that you would give to someone to weather this storm?
Yeah, that would be financial advice, of course, and I would say this. Portfolios today should not look like they did 10 or 20 years ago, because the world has changed. Understand how the world has changed. Readjust your investments accordingly. And I will tell you some of the advice that's in the book. Stocks are riskier than most people thought. Just ask anybody who lived through 2008 when stocks went down 40%. So you have to be conscious of that risk and tailor your allocation to stocks appropriately. Commodities are good. Certain commodities, what we call real assets, are going to play a very important role in the future of the world. Why? Because of the two largest countries in the world happen to be the fastest growing. So as China and India start developing a real middle class, the demand for things like oil especially, but also gold and some other commodities, are going to cause shortages and prices will rise. So that should be an important part of your portfolio as well. And also, it's an inflation protection, and we should have an inflation protection bucket in every one of our portfolio investments. These are the things we never thought about 10 years ago.
And finally, what sort of reception has the book received? I'm sure that there are some people who get nervous or even upset at what you're saying, while others are probably lauding you as, you know, look, see, you know, these people know what they're talking about.
Well, Greg, that pretty much sums it up. there are some people, for instance, I had the dubious distinction of having one of the things I said put on the Paul Krugman's website. He put it on himself as an indication of how wrong I was that inflation was coming. But I was honored that he would care enough, since he is a Nobel Prize winner in economics. Generally, people listen, and they're interested in the message we have. And I have to tell you, the book's been out a few months, and the fact that a lot of what we are predicting has already come true has caused attention to the book that has helped us. Both my co-author and I have been made a number of TV appearances, and we continue to get invited to speak in front of groups, and, you know, we're happy about that, even though we're not happy about what's happening.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks, Greg.